Hello, my name is Steve Masler from TroutU.com, and I would like to welcome you to our Cyber Guide series of trout fishing related podcasts. These podcasts will generally discuss in-depth and advanced topics on trout fishing. So, now on to our podcast. Today we will be discussing the Hendricksons and the Red Quills. This genus of mayflies is probably the most complex and misunderstood of them all, even though it consists of only one species, the Savaria. This crawler mayfly is a part of a huge family of mayflies, and it is in the same group as the sulfurs and western pale morning duns. Even in streams where they are not that plentiful, they are very important. If you are fishing where they are hatching, for example, you may find the trout unwilling to take anything but a fairly close imitation of them. The trout often feed selectively on this mayfly more than any other. This is probably due to the fact the trout could eat them with much more ease than the clinger mayflies like the Quill Gordons and American March Browns. Even the stoneflies are clingers, and they, too, are not that easy for the trout to acquire. The Hendrickson nymphs and emerging nymphs can be picked off similar to the way we eat boiled shrimp, about as fast as we want to eat them. The reason there often are not many of these mayflies in a stream is because there's sometimes not much water that is suitable for them in the stream. They like moderate water that is flowing well, but steady and smooth, not plunging or turbulent water like that commonly found in many streams. They can live in parts of the riffles where the water flows moderately, but there is usually not much of it. They also like the tail ends of pools if the water is flowing moderately. The nymphs stay about as exposed as any mayfly nymph except for the swimmers, but unlike the swimmers, they can't dart away and hide from the trout. They don't get under the rocks like the clingers. When they hatch, they are sitting ducks for the trout. The trout can get at the end of a current seam that is collecting the emerging nymphs and just pick them off as fast as they drift by. The spinner fall is the main event of a Hendrickson hatch. But before we get into any more details, let's clarify what confuses many anglers from the very beginning. The Red Quill and the Hendrickson are not two different mayflies. They are the same one. The Hendrickson is the correct common name of the mayflies. The Red Quill is a common name used for several different species of mayflies, including the sulfur and even the Quill Gordons in some cases. Many spinners turn a dark, rusty, reddish color. The Hendrickson Red Quill refers to the male spinners. When they mate with the female spinners above the water, the Red Quills fall dead and drop to the water almost instantly. The female spinners, which are much lighter and not a dark rusty red color, develop their eggs and deposit them shortly thereafter. What is so different about these mayflies and most others is the fact the female and male duns and the female and male spinners are completely different colors. The males and female Hendricksons are so different you will find the male nymphs and the female nymphs to be in different areas of the stream. They congregate separately. The Hendrickson nymphs. As previously, the Hendrickson nymphs are very important to anglers because they are easy for the trout to find and eat. Also, we mentioned that they are only in isolated sections of the streams. However, they exist in most of the streams, and where they do exist, they can usually be found in plentiful quantities. There are just not that many places you will find them. Look for larger areas of moderately flowing water. This does not include the large deep pools. They will only be found there at the tail ends of the pools if the water is flowing moderately and the water is 3 feet deep or less, having the necessary bottom composition. Anywhere you find large pockets of moderately paced water that is not extremely shallow or deep, you may find Hendrickson nymphs. The reason I said may find is that the bottom composition needs to be small to medium-sized cobble, gravel, or sand as opposed to large rocks. When you do find these conditions, you will almost always find a good concentration of Hendrickson nymphs. If it is the right time of year, up until the 1st of May, you may find the duns along the banks of the stream, but the problem with that is the hatch may have already ended. Be sure and fish the spinner fall. These mayflies don't hatch over a long period of time in any one area. They will all hatch within a week or two, at the most, in any one given section of a stream. From about 2 weeks up until the time they do hatch, the nymphs are even more subject to being eaten by trout. They are so easy for the trout to eat that in the particular section of the stream where the Hendricksons exist, they will usually abandon any other types of food in favor of these nymphs. They may feed selectively on the nymphs, emergers, duns, and spinners until the hatch has ended. When you find the right stream conditions and the hatch is about to start or has just started, an imitation of these nymphs can be deadly. You usually will not be able to get one through the water without it being taken by a trout. This is one fly you can drop down from a dry fly or indicator and do well with. The bottom is usually fairly constant in depth, and the exact depth the nymph is presented seems to make little difference. You can fish them as a dropper or with an indicator, but you don't have to. Just watch your line. You want to fish in an upstream or slightly up and across direction. Remember to fish the tail ends of the runs. Start at the end of the fast water where it slows down to a moderate speed. When you come up on a pool with the right type bottom and depth, cast well ahead to cover the shallower water near the end of the pool. If you walk or wade up to the end of the pool, you may spook most of the fish that would be feeding on the nymphs. To be perfectly honest, you almost need to know where the stream conditions are right for the Hendricksons before approaching it. By the time you accidentally discover the areas they exist in, you may well have already spooked most of the trout. There may be 100 yards of a stream without one Hendrickson mayfly nymph, and there may well be in half of the entire 100-yard stretch depending on the stream. Moderately flowing water is the perfect habitat for the Hendricksons. Fast pocket water is not. It is not well suited for the crawler nymphs. The only place they might exist is in large comb pockets, and then only in small quantities. Now on to the Hendrickson emergers. The Hendrickson nymphs emerge in the surface skim. They leave the bottom and swim to the surface with a wiggle-like motion of their bodies. This is not anything you need to worry about as far as imitating the emergers. You have to watch carefully to even notice the wiggles that help them get to the surface. They emerge when the water is anywhere from about 50 degrees Fahrenheit to about 55 degrees. If the water gets as warm as 60 during the hatch, it will end in any one location within just about a week. It rarely lasts longer than 2 weeks on any one stream. Because of the different elevations, some streams may be behind some of the others temperature-wise, and that can cause them to string out for as much as 3 or possible 4 weeks. They usually don't start hatching until the quill gordons are finished. These crawler nymphs get caught in the current seams of the moderate water they hatch in. You want to fish the current seams in the type of water described previously. An up and across presentation usually works. A down and across presentation could also be beneficial in some situations, but 95% of the time the up and across method works just fine. If you fish our perfect flies, you know we have 2 different types of emergers for the Hendricksons. One has 2 CDC wings and a bight body with soft hackle for its legs and tails. It is designed to hang in the surface skim like the real nymphs do when they shed their nymphal shuck and emerge into duns. That fly is more nymph than dun. Its wings are just beginning to open all the way up, and the shuck has not come off the abdomen. The second type is a trailing shuck emerger. It represents the emerging dun when its nymphal shuck is almost off, but still attached to the tail. It is more dun than nymph, and is designed to float in the skim with a trailing shuck floating level with the water. It too has 2 CDC wings and a bight body with soft hackle for its legs for the male, but it has an antron-type shuck attached to the abdomen. Either type works well. The trailing shuck version is much easier to see and therefore results in a high percentage of hookups, but the emerger without the shuck probably gets more takes. Start with the trailing shuck version and only change to the other if you are not very successful. Once you start seeing duns come off the water, you should change from a nymph to an emerger imitation. The emergers usually work better than the duns. Late in the hatch, or if there's a huge number of duns on the surface, you may want to go to the dun. Many anglers only use the trailing shuck version and never go to a dun imitation. However, the dun is much easier to see than the trailing shuck emerger and works best for many anglers. Now you may also notice that we have a pattern for the male and another one for the female for the trailing shuck versions. This isn't necessary for the emerger because it still has its shuck on its abdomen. The trailing shuck version doesn't. The male and female duns and spinners are completely different colors. This distinction can be important in many streams where there are a lot of Hendricksons and where the trout becomes selective on them. Now we'll move along to the Hendrickson duns. The Hendricks and Duns leave the water to fly off to the trees or vegetation along the banks just as soon as their wings dry. As mentioned previously, the trout probably eat more of the emergers in the skim than the duns. It is easier for them to do that. They will take the duns, though, at very, very well at times. The water is still cool when these mayflies hatch, or from about 50 to 55 degrees. That is still a little marginal for very active trout. It also adds to the amount of time required for the dun's wings to dry, and this means the duns are on the surface a relatively long time. It is not uncommon to see them drift as fully developed duns for as much as 20 feet. The bodies of the male and female duns are completely different colors. The advantage you have fishing the perfect fly dun over the emergers with the CDC wings is that they are much easier to see on the water. For many anglers, this results in a higher percentage of hookups on the duns. You have to watch for rise rings when you are using the emergers. You usually get a much more visible take from the dun imitations. Fish the duns up and across just like the emergers. Remember that you want to concentrate on the moderately flowing water, such as described in the previous nymph discussion. The Hendricksons are not a fast water mayfly. They are crawlers, not clingers. You will not be able to find them hatching unless you find the right type of water. Sometimes the moderate water with the right type of bottom can be found within pocket water streams, but it is usually only a small area and there are usually not that many Hendricksons there. Hendrickson spinners. The spinner fall is the main event of the Hendrickson hatch. The male spinner is called the red quill. However, there are a lot of other mayfly spinners that are called red quills. Besides, who said the male spinners are the main ones the trout eat? It's most likely exactly the opposite. The female spinners are the main ones eaten by trout. The reason I believe so is because the males fall dead as soon as they mate. They may not even fall over the water, although most of the time they do. The males die prior to the female spinner fall. The females fly down to the water and either drop their eggs from the air just above the water or by touching the surface of the water with their abdomens. This usually occurs just prior to dark. It may start earlier on dark, cloudy days. The females deposit their eggs in the same water they hatch from, but the males mate wherever it is convenient, usually over the water. Sometimes they mate high in the air and they often fall on the banks. Because of when and where the spinners fall, I think the females are much more apt to be eaten by the trout, although I am certain both sexes fall prey to the trout. The bodies of the two sexes are completely different colors. That is why we have two patterns of perfect flies for the Hendrickson spinners. In theory, you could fish the male version earlier and the females later in the afternoons. When the spinner fall is fairly heavy, the trout tend to get into the feeding lanes and develop a steady rhythm eating the spinners. There can be a lot of spinners on the water at one time. They all fall within minutes. We use both an up and across and a down and across presentation of the spent spinners depending on the situation. If we see the trout sipping the spinners in feeding lanes, we generally try to fish up and across to them. If they are feeding at the ends of long runs and riffles or at the heads of pools where they tend to collect, we usually fish down and across. You should choose the method of presentation based on how well you will be able to get the fly in the right place without spooking the trout. I hope you enjoyed our discussion today on the Hendricksons and red quills. Be sure to check out our Perfect Fly brand flies and other trout fishing related items in our online store located at troutu.com/store.